began so long ago with a band of Queen's Park men.
Hello and welcome to the latest episode of the Spiders Talk podcast. It's David Blair, Enzo Tamanini and Callum Stewart back again. Queen's Park back to winning ways, thankfully, after a few draws. 2-1 victory over the United on Saturday just there. We'll go back and look through some of a couple of great goals and some great play for Queen's Park. Probably should have scored more than just the two, but all that really matters at this point in the season is the 3 points, because it was absolutely massive for us in terms of the league table with other results elsewhere. We will, of course, as always, do a quick news recap. Not too much to talk about this week, because we're already looking ahead to this coming Saturday. It may be Monday early evening as we're sitting here recording this, but I've already had Kevin Keegan's little speech in my head a couple of times as we look ahead to travelling to Capello and to taking on Dougie Emery's Green McMorton, because the last 2 years have been up and down. One thing we've yet to do is to get a win over Morton, and I would absolutely love it if it was going to be this Saturday. It would be massive once again. So Callum and Enzo, hope you're both doing well. Callum, once again, you first of all, how are things?
Yeah, all good here, thank you. I got the pleasure of actually watching the game at the weekend, which was excellent. I've learned two new things in Malawi this week. One, I am just dinner for mosquitoes. I am getting eaten alive in that respect, whereas my wife is managing to avoid all forms of bites, so that's one thing. And also I thought, instead of just spending my time eating and drinking whilst I'm here, which is fun to a degree, I should maybe try and exercise at some point. And a slightly out of shape Scottish guy does not do well in 30 degree heat. That was the other main discovery for me in the last week. But aside from that, all good, all good. And I totally agree and echo with your sentiments towards the Morton game. I think you said, Enzo, was it you, Enzo, or David? I can't mind what one of you said it, that we hadn't beat Ayr since 2007. So we've got a pretty horrific record against Morton as well. So let's go for 2 weeks in a row of getting rid of these nasty hoodoos. Also, by the way, we beat Morton and you drag them into a wee bit of a relegation battle alongside us. So that would be fun.
It's crazy, actually, considering, like, obviously Morton went on the, 16 game unbeaten stretch at one point.
It was like 4 months.
Yeah, so I think it was 16 games over the PCA. It was about 4 months. And we obviously went our 4.5 months or whatever without picking up a single win. And now all of a sudden we're only 1 point behind them. Like, how absolutely wild is that? Genuinely, just like, that is the perfect way to summarize how ridiculous this division is, because it's just, you really aren't going to see that anywhere else in the world. And obviously I realize a massive factor is that we have it's a small division. Do you know what I mean? You've only got 10 teams, so you're never really that far away from anyone. But it's mental, and totally agree with you. Like, this is, now I'm going to say something that I've said quite a few times. I said it last season when we were 2-0 up against Morton at one point in that game at Oakleview.
Yes, we were
2-0 up. So I said it then. I said it earlier on this season when they had like two substitutes and we ended up drawing nothing each. I said it the game at Capello earlier this season where they'd get a man sent off and we had a penalty. We won't get a better opportunity to beat Morton, but I really do mean it this time. This is the one. I don't know. I'm feeling relatively optimistic about it. And yeah, as you say, it would really drag them down a bit and propel us significantly at this stage. I think if we were to pick up another win in the next two games, we'd be in a really, really, really good position going forward. So we'll see what happens. I don't know.
Yeah, it was the last win at Somerset Park was 2007-08 season. It would have been August 2007. It was very early on. It was a 3-2 win. I'm sure somebody else told me as well. That was only our third, I believe it was our third win in about 40 years at Ayr away, which is quite incredible, you know. And I mean, it's not like they've been a team that we have been more frequently than certainly some others that we've played more often. So that's quite an incredible, statistic there as well. But let's look at the win. Let's get a quick overview from the game. Callum, you were obviously enjoying it on stream. Enzo, you were at the game as well. The first half seemed, you know, it was only 1-0 at half time, but it seemed like it really should have, it could and should have been way more than that. You could argue at least 3, maybe even 4-0. Queen's Park looked absolutely excellent in that first 45. Just constant chance after chance. a great goal from Payton with another great cross from Louis Longridge, who in recent weeks seems to be loving this, getting down the right-hand side and cutting back in and whipping it in on his left foot. And Payton gets in front of the centre-half and nods it in from close range. I say there were a couple of other really good chances in that first half. Jack Turner's guilty of a golden opportunity, absolutely squandered. It looked harder to miss that one than to score it. But Enzo, you first, how would you have summed up, well, how else would you sum up that first 45 other than an excellent one for Queen's Park?
Yeah, I mean, we were dominant over the full game, but the first half probably we should have scored at least one or two more. And you can even see it from the highlights. There were so many opportunities. We had a lot of time on the ball. And I think a lot of that, to be fair, right, we played well, but I think it's also probably worth highlighting that Ayr really did invite pressure on the way they kind of... Do you know what they reminded me of a little bit, actually? They sort of defended almost the same way Robin Veldman set us up to defend, with that really kind of high line. And it just invited us on and did kind of contribute to us having so many chances. That was how I felt about it, actually. And I think you can see that from the second goal in particular, where the defence is so high up when we get in behind them. But I think what's really important, actually, is because obviously we have massively improved under Davison. There's nobody can deny that. It's been really good to watch. And we'd become obviously much harder to beat in recent weeks, but we still hadn't actually picked up a win in a few weeks. And there's also, like, because of this kind of this concept of the new manager bounce, there's always, I suppose, a bit of nerves about whether that'll fall away a wee bit. And if you don't win for, what was it, three draws in a row we had? Now, don't get me wrong, the eighth one in particular was a fantastic draw, but there was a part of me that was kind of worried that maybe the heads would go down a wee bit. But the team played with so much confidence on Saturday, and that was what I found particularly exciting and what I think we'll see even more of in the coming weeks. And honestly, I really do think, you know, we've got two teams coming up that on paper a few weeks ago nobody would have really given as much of a chance against, but I don't know. I think there's a good chance that they'll be right up for it and we're a real chance.
They should be. I mean, obviously we've still had some pretty variable results over the last wee while, but the level of performances hasn't really dipped too much. Again, if we go think back to the Velman era, whenever you were sort of getting something resembling points, you always kind of knew that it was a one-off and it wasn't going to continue, whereas it doesn't really feel like that right now, which is good. It just feels like the overall standard of the team is... Yeah, it's just been... We just look like a decent team now, which means that if you maybe don't get that win, obviously the last three draws were frustrating, but you kind of feel like the wins are still in there because the standard of performances is high enough. And obviously you called out Louis Longridge, David. I thought he was absolutely excellent. And it's really interesting when you look at Longridge in comparison to Scott and how they both set up, because I think when we were discussing who do we want to right back a few weeks ago, this was before McPherson got injured. And I said that for me, I would rather see McPherson because I felt in the wing back role, it kind of makes more sense having somebody that's going to do that sort of run to the byline, that kind of stuff. And fair play to Longridge, because he is fundamentally proving me wrong, because he's playing a totally different game. What I was worried about was that Longridge was going to go and try and play that style of football, which I just don't think at this point in time is suited to him, whereas he's not. He's doing exactly what you mentioned, Enzo. He's running, he's cutting back, and then he's whipping in fantastic crosses week on week. Whereas if you compare that to Scott, who's a lot more athletic, a lot more physical, he's just constantly doing overlaps, and both of them are producing results, because we talked about chances in the first half. There was plenty of them. But Scott gets down to the byline pretty early on. I think it was Dom Thomas, who was fantastic, by the way. Absolutely brilliant. But he plays it through to Scott, who gets right down to the byline. He crosses it across the middle of the box. And I think Welsh has a really good chance early on, slot at home. So you've just got quite a nice mix. And both of them work, because you've got the two strikers up front, obviously. We get a goal off the back of Longridge's cross to Payton, and it just makes such a difference. And fair play to him, like he's really, really stepped it up. And also, I thought, I'm going ahead of myself here, obviously it was unfortunate, a bit of a nasty one for Longridge coming off, which was a shame given how he was playing. But I thought Mauchin did quite well, and he was I think another good example of the sort of get to the byline style fullback, which Scott is more representative of. But that first half in general was great. The football that we were playing was brilliant. Totally agree with what you said, Enzo, about how they are set up. I thought it was really weird. Really weird. They were genuinely playing like Veldman did. They were trying to pass it out from the back. Yeah. They clearly didn't have the players to do it. It was just all the stuff that we've seen for large parts of this season.
And I think that's something that can happen when you bring in a manager who is used to either coaching players who are considerably more talented than what he has now, or has maybe played at a really high level as well, and expects a little bit too much of guys who are playing at this level of football. And I'm not saying that Ayr don't have some good players, because I think they do. I think they've also underachieved this season. I don't know how much of it was bullying or whether maybe recruitment wasn't as great. But I think the backbone of the team that ultimately, I can't believe they finished second last season over us, but the backbone of that team is still there. But he seems to be like Brown's lineup seem to be a bit of a lottery right now, and I'm not entirely sure what is going on there. I mean, did either of you listen to his post game interview at all?
Very briefly, he did mention there was a lot of injuries, but that still doesn't excuse some of the choices he's making.
Honestly, like it sounded as though he was basically complaining about us not giving them the chance to play football, but almost in a sort of how dare they sort of way, which is obviously really, really, really silly. And I think there are some doubts starting to creep in already amongst Ayr's fans about whether he was the right guy, by the way.
I mean, there was definitely are going to be doubts about that. I mean, it's always going to be the case, any manager coming in. And I'll put my hands up. When Veldman left, Scott Brown was a name where I was considering I would probably take him at Queen's Park. I think we spoke at length about that in one of our previous episodes as well, that we all said that we'd probably take him as well. It looks like we've certainly dodged a bullet in that regard, because I do have on my notes as we go on and talk about the second half, I did have the Veldman ball comparison for the second goal, but we've already started talking about that. I tell you what, before we do move on to that, let's obviously just talk Rory Payton. That was his 21st goal in all competitions this season, and the SPFL do their wee weekly stats roundup. It was tweeted out earlier on, and it obviously name dropped a bit of a Queen's Park legend, the East Kilbride goal machine. Jamie Longworth was the last man for Queen's Park to hit 21 goals in a season. That was back in 2011-12. Payton up front, obviously, we're seeing how good he is alongside Sheridan as well, but in that first half of the season when we were toiling, and that's putting it politely, he was still always there. He was taking the chances. He probably could have scored more. I'm sure he'll look back at some chances that weren't taken, but he is still up there. Is he maybe one behind Brian Graham now, or two behind him?
Yeah,
I'm not quite sure at this moment. Is it just the one? Yeah. A few more assists, so I think that bumps him up a little bit. But yeah, Payton is having an absolutely excellent season, and I've seen Enzo, you were on Twitter trying to start the bargaining for him already. I think it was some St Mirren fans, wasn't it? Trying to talk a little bit.
There was a tweet from a St Mirren fan saying, because the SPFL posted a video of his goal, and there was a tweet from a St Mirren fan saying, is he worth a punt? And my question was, so I think Payton will be here next season unless a ridiculous bid comes in for him. And I think for that to happen, it would probably have to be a club down south, given that they have a wee bit too much money. When you look at, obviously, what Akinyemi went for example, and there were some suggestions that, you know, from the St Mirren fans that I was having a wee word with, that we would probably accept £60,000 to £90,000 for him for a 23-year-old who scored 20-odd goals already this season, who's under contract until 2026. That is absolutely wild to me, and somewhat ignorant of the calibre of player that you're potentially looking at there. I think he's going to be a little bit, his asking price will probably be a little bit more than what most Scottish clubs at a higher level would be willing to gamble on him. But again, you never know. I'd rather be hung on to him anyway. But I just think he's class. I love watching the guy play. You can see how much it means to him when he scores. The celebration's always just so genuine.
What about at full time as well? Because there was some words or something like that with the Ayr fans apparently at some point during the game, and he let them know how he felt at full time, which is great to see.
I didn't see that at the time. I didn't see it during the game, and I didn't see it after the game. But yeah, Ayr fans weren't happy with him. Apparently, he did kind of have a wee word with the Somerset Road End before going down the tunnel at full time. Don't know what happened, but do you know what? If they've been giving them grief during the game, then they can take a wee bit of it back.
Yeah, that's why the sort of gamble on longer term contracts with some of these guys is so important, isn't it? Because you do get a wee bit sort of, well, I do anyway, when you see some of the contracts that are given out that's like 2 or 3 years plus, etc., and you're thinking, oh God, that's, what if that goes wrong? Do you know what I mean? And it has in some instances, but you just need a few of them to be to go the right way, and suddenly you're on a wee bit of a, I don't want to say gold mine, because that's not the only reason. Like I'm similar to you, Enzo. I want another season out of Peyton, and I kind of hope that Peyton wants another season as well, because he's still a young guy, and I think next year for Queens, fingers crossed, everything sort of goes in the right direction for the last few games of the season. Next year could be genuinely really exciting, because we're starting to get to the point of having an actual good spine of the team. Obviously, we've got Ferry signed up again. We've got Bannon, guys like Bannon coming through a wee bit more. I know he was obviously dropped to the weekend. We've got Wilson, lots and lots of really, really good players kicking about. And next year could be exciting. So I think there's lots of incentive. But primarily, I totally agree, we should be correctly asking for Hunters of Cash for him, because young guy scoring lots of goals at every club that he plays for. I mean, there will be teams floating about him.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Definitely.
Yeah. And the Akinyemi comparison is definitely right in that. In that discussion, Enzo, it should be nothing less than what Ayr got for him, which was about 250,000.
I think they knocked back 250,000 at some point. I can't remember when. I'm sure they knocked back 250 grand for him. Yeah. And then
it was like an undisclosed.
They ended up getting, yeah. But they claimed that the media was claiming that it was York City's record signing, and I believe the record signing before that was 140,000. So it clearly was, it was still a decent whack.
Yeah, absolutely. But fingers crossed, he signs a 10-year extension, and he is here scoring goals for many more years. Another Irish striker that I would genuinely consider offering an extension right now to is, of course, Killian Sheridan, who scored the second for Queen's Park. The Veldman ball from Ayr, the short pass from the goalkeeper is the goal kick. And the centre-half just about gets to the edge of the box before deciding, you know what, there's Peyton right in front of me, I'll just give him the ball, no bother. Peyton squares it to Sheridan, and the keeper comes running out, slides, and it's a lovely little dink over the keeper. I think he's actually looking to dink over him and then get on the end of it anyway, but he gets it, he puts his foot on it. Just as well anyway, because he put enough on it that it ended up in the back of the net anyway. 2-0, Sheridan continues his absolutely incredible start to his Queen's Park career. Again, there was some Inverness fans on the club tweet about him scoring again, as they were, I mean, they did all right at the weekend, did they not? But what on earth are they doing releasing guys like Sean Welsh and Sheridan this season? But yeah, another goal for him. And I mean, well, in terms of the rest of the game, Enzo, like, what was his all-round contribution to the game?
Just exactly what you've seen from him every other week, basically, where he clearly has a lot more pace than what anybody expected when we signed him. He's got a really good football brain on him. I think he just works incredibly hard, and what he offers is something that we've probably not had up front. A lot of the work that he does off the ball is the kind of work that Simon Murray used to do off the ball, almost. He's like a big distraction for the defenders that then allows Rory Peyton to get into the opportunities in the areas where he wants to be. And he's just, I can't, honestly, right, I just can't believe how good he's been. It's ridiculous. And I do think it's extra funny that, you know, Inverness fans are still slagging him off. They want to be careful, because we play them in a few weeks at Hampden, and he's going to be right up for that. Wouldn't surprise me to see him score a hat-trick that week.
Sheridan Welsh double would go down a treat. Yeah, I mean, it's absolutely fantastic, because what is that, 3 goals, 3 assists for Sheridan since he joined with us now in 6 games. I mean, that's such a fantastic return, and I don't care what anyone says, none of us in any sense. And a load of credit to Davidson, because we were talking about this, David, just before we started recording today. Peyton could clearly go into any team in the league and do well, right? I don't necessarily think that would be the case with Sheridan if you stuck him in every team in the league and he was actually starting week on week. But we have set up the team to facilitate the two of them so well right now.
Yep.
And Dom Thomas has been absolutely fantastic. The wing-backs creating all those opportunities for the two sort of bigger guys up front. And it's just so good to see. Like, we're actually just playing to our strengths, which we did for so little of this season under Veldman. It's so refreshing to Davidson saying, right, here's the guys that I've got. How do I make them work in the best way possible? He just seems to be so sensible. And seeing you talk about like the new manager bounce and stuff like that, obviously we're seeing Inverness starting to falter. We're seeing Ayr struggling a wee bit now with Scott Brown. I just don't get that feeling with Davidson that he just seems incredibly level-headed, which I think for our team and our squad, I think that's all that we need, because I still believe that, like, fundamentally we have a good group of players. I've not actually got any concerns now. I did before, but after the transfer, I don't have any concerns about the actual overall quality of our squad to stay up. And I think, see if they just continue in this vein of just being pragmatic, playing to the guy's strengths, I think we'll be okay, touch wood. But yeah, it's great from Sheridan. And it must be so nice for him as well, by the way, because that has to be difficult, especially when you're at the sort of latter stages of your career, to go from team to team, not really get a game or make an impact. It must be so nice to come into a squad where you're given the confidence and the responsibility to go and actually play your game. You get starts, you're getting opportunities. It must be such a step change for him, which is great. And it just shows you how much of the sort of mindset of footballers is confidence-based, isn't it? Because how often do you see that with guys who are in, I mean, not just specific to Queens, but they're playing for one side, they're not in the squad, or they're a bit part player, they have a poor run, and then they go elsewhere, and suddenly they look like the best player in the world. So I'm just glad that it's worked out for us that way.
I totally agree. He looks totally unfazed by it as well, which I think is kind of says a lot about him. Like, he obviously knew that he was still capable of this. And I know that, you know, like, Dundee fans, he was quite well liked among Dundee fans, even though his performances weren't the best. And it would have been very easy for his head to go down, potentially even chuck it at his age after it didn't work out at Inverness. But it's just, I'm very, very glad he didn't.
Yeah, absolutely. He's been fantastic for us so far. And yeah, he's one goal contribution, whether it's a goal or assist per game on average right now, which is, absolutely incredible.
I was looking this up earlier on, actually, out of curiosity. So I believe since joining, how many games has he played? Six games?
Yeah, six appearances, yeah.
Four starts and two off the bench, is that right?
I think that's right, yep.
Yeah, and I believe in those six games, if you slotted him into Inverness's squad, he would be their third highest goal scorer all season.
All season? In the last six games?
Yep.
Oh, Duncan Ferguson masterclass there, love it. Yeah, brilliant. Great to see him scoring goals for Queens. Thankfully, he did as well, because, of course, Ayr did get one back later on. A header from a corner. I thought, actually, just one last mention on Sheridan, or tie him into this, because it was Sanders that scored the header for Ayr. I mean, it was a good leap. I did see Wilson on the ground, so I don't know if, I mean, but a collision or something in the box. Maybe it was his man or something. I'm not quite sure what happened there, but I just thought it was funny that it was Sanders that scored. He's on loan, obviously, from Kilmarnock.
That's right, yeah.
But Kilmarnock tweeted out a picture of Sheridan wearing a Kilmarnock kit, obviously from his earlier career, after full time of that game, just as a wee wind-up to the Ayr fans. Despite, they never commented on the fact, oh, it was the guy that we actually have under contract, he scored. Nah, they were too busy on the wind-up, and doubly good because it was, of course, for a Queen's Park win, and it was Sheridan as well. But aside from that, Ayr, I mean, consolation. I mean, even when you look at the highlights, Queen still had another couple of good chances to get up and put our lead back to two goals or get another one. Thankfully, it wasn't needed. The game was seen out, and all round, it sounds like, I know you guys have already said it, Callum, you're watching it online also. Across those 90 minutes, and aside from a wee 10-minute spell or so where Ayr got a little bit of pressure, Ferry did have one good save to make earlier on in the second half. But it seems like it was as comfortable a win as we've had all season.
It was very. It was 2-1 going on 10-1.
Aye.
That's a good way. That's a good way of saying yes. It was comfortable.
Yeah, it's always horrible. It's still horrible though, isn't it? Like when you get to that 2-1 stage, because you are kind of thinking, because their goal was, it was a pretty bog standard, obviously, corner set piece, blah blah blah. But you do still have that element of worry. But I mean, Yeah, I mean, if you're going to criticize that performance, it's that we should have scored comfortably three or four more goals. I mean, Wilson had a, Danny Wilson, he had a really, really good opportunity at one point with a header. McLeish, he had a great opportunity with a 1v1. He looked absolutely rapid, by the way, when he came on as well, which was good. So I like that from guys who might not be starting matches. It's always good to have an impact sub that's got a bit of pace. So there was hundreds of goals in it, but yes, 3 points, that's the main thing.
Angel, you were our sole representative there. I know you got the stream, Callum, but we're going to have to stick to our rule of who was at the game to vote for man of the match. So, Angel, it's all on you.
Go, I watched the game.
I feel as though Callum, I feel as though Callum gets a say here as well. We're going to have to agree. I would say, let's put it this way, right? If we don't agree, then I get the decision.
We Why? Don't agree. I watched the game.
I thought the rule was it's whoever's at the game, but I mean, okay,
aye,
fine.
But this has never been an option to be able to watch the international streams.
I suppose. Right. Okay, fine then. Fine. Well, if we're doing it with streams, then we can do that going. Hopefully there'll be some more streams for us in the future. But fine, let's go with it then. So you can both get a vote then. Well, Enzo, I'll come to you first still.
See, I'm actually quite torn, to be honest with you. Dom Thomas was fantastic. I don't think we've talked about him enough. He was every bit the Dom Thomas that we turn up every week hoping to see, that Dom Thomas that could instantly change a game. Some of the balls he put in, he just looked fantastic. Wilson, great at the back as usual. I can't believe how significant a signing he's been, by the way. He's a total class act at the back. He's massive. But I think man of the match was probably Sheridan, actually.
Oh, interesting. Right, so I don't have any of those three listed as my man of the match. I was going to go for Longridge. I know that he got subbed earlier on, but I was so impressed with his performance. I thought he did really well defensively. Whilst he was on the pitch, I thought he did good as well. I thought he had a really good game, but I agree. It could go to any of them. Dom, you're right about Dom Thomas. He was absolutely fantastic. And I've always typically wanted Dom Thomas out wide, but he was getting right stuck in the middle of the park. I mean, he starts the play for one of the goals before we knock it out wide and off him tackling a guy in the middle of the park. So it's a tough one. I would personally go for Longridge, but I'm also happy to subside and go for Sheridan as reflective of how excellent he's been for him joining us.
Okay.
Oh, there we go then. So we are in agreement then. It will be Kellyn Sheridan, our man of the match, for the 2-1 win away to Ayr. Will we have a quick look at the league table? Let's do that. Let's do that because it's making much better reading now, especially after that 3 points there. Dundee United, they did draw against Inverness. You see Louis Moult scored from about 50 yards. It was based at the halfway line. I don't know what the hell Inverness are playing at, but yeah. Dundee United dropping points there, so they're on 59. Wraith have a game in hand and are 1 point behind on 58. Then you've got Partick Thistle still on a little bit of no man's land and 46 points in third. Here's where it starts getting interesting. So Airdrie are on 39 points, but they have two games in hand. Obviously, they didn't have a game that... Well, they had a game this weekend. They won the Diddy Cup over the New Saints, which... That was a difficult one. I really didn't know what I wanted more, Airdrie to lose or a foreign team to win the Challenge Cup. I really didn't know what I wanted less. But Airdrie did manage to win that. So they're on 39 points. Then you've got Dunfermline on 38, Morton on 37, Queen's Park on 36, Ayr on 35, 4 points between those five teams. And then you've got Inverness on 32. And Inverness, crucially, are on the same amount of games played as us. So we have a 4-point lead over Inverness, who are currently sitting in ninth place. And then you've got Arbroath, who it's surely now a matter of time for it's confirmed. They are, 9 points adrift in last place. So see you later, Arbroath. But yes, I say crucially, a 4-point lead over ninth place. And we do play Inverness in a couple of weeks' time, which will be a massive game there, won't it? But I mean, that league table, it's... Touch wood, pray to whatever you want to pray to. It's starting to look a little bit better.
It is. And there's some tricky games coming up because Inverness have got Thistle away at the weekend, I think. Is that right? Aye, they do. They've got Thistle away at the weekend. And Thistle have just got off the back of a bad run of form, so hopefully they can dispatch Inverness. And if we can just get a win over Morton finally in that hoodoo, it would just make such a difference to the table, because then you can actually start getting into that pure mad conversation about can we make a push at the end of the season. I'm not going to get too far ahead of myself though, but it does become a bit of a possibility, which would be the most ridiculous scenario. But still, I would still take eighth. It does show you though how massive a win that was against Ayr, wasn't it? Because that point swing, had they came into that game and beat us, would have essentially set them adrift from ourselves, because they would have been in 38. We would still be languishing down with Inverness at, what would that be, 33. So
yep.
it was the sort of dictionary definition of a six-pointer. And just in terms of their sort of momentum, they are going to feel the pressure on that game in hand as well. So aye, it's finally starting to look a bit more rosy. And I mean, fundamentally, that's why we're talking about the league table. I think we've, I can't remember the last time that we actually were willing to go through and list the points totals. But yeah, it's looking a wee bit more palatable.
Yeah, that's got to be a bit of a sore one for Inverness, actually, because it's one of the ones we've talked about it so much in recent weeks, actually, where, you know, in isolation, it's actually probably a decent point. But when you look at the bigger picture, and we've got to the stage where you have to look at the bigger picture, things really didn't go in their favour at all. I'm not sure what their fixtures are looking like in terms of home and away split, but they do seem to do a lot better on the road than what they do at home. So hopefully they've got a lot of home games left. I'm not sure if I were an Inverness fan, I would have much faith in Ferguson and that group of players to kind of dig them out of that hole that they're in at the minute. It's not impossible, it's still incredibly tight. But I'm not sure. And to be honest with you, I also hope that he doesn't.
Yeah, I also just hope that he doesn't as well. The league table, as you say, it's looking a little bit nicer, and fingers crossed we'll be talking about it a little bit more each week, because it will start looking even better. And yes, you're right, Cal, maybe we can look up and maybe wonder, oh, hang on, can we sneak into fourth? But we're not there yet. Let's just move on and say we'll talk about the Morton game very, very soon. We've only got a couple of wee things to do as a news roundup. So last week there were, the week ahead tweet, you know, the club always put out every single week, it did mention last week that the under 18 team beat Ayr 5-0, but there's no match report or nothing, so can't even like give a shout out to who scored, but they won that game there. And there was no game for either the QP supports team or Queen's Park Women this weekend, but there was a little bit of news for Queen's Park Women. We spoke about it last week as well, where when you looked at the fixtures on the club website, it did mention that their next home game would actually be at the City Stadium, and the club confirmed that last week, I think again about a day or so after we gave it a shout out there. But it is going to be this Sunday the 31st of March. It's going to be Queen's Park versus Gart Cairn, a 12 o'clock kickoff. It is pay at the gate. I think did it say cash only? I'm sure it did. £6 adults, £2 concessions. But there is some bank holiday football for the Queen's Park women's team, and they're getting their chance to play at the City Stadium, which, as we've been saying for a number of weeks, a number of months, and plenty of other Queen's Park fans have been saying as well, it's long overdue.
Yeah. They deserve it. We've talked about this so much on this podcast, but it's they deserve the opportunity to play, with those facilities on that pitch. They've had such a ridiculous season beyond, I'm sure, any of their expectations. I'm sure they were probably quietly confident coming into this season, but I don't think anybody expected them to be in the position that they are at this stage. And it's just a shame that it's probably come slightly too early for them to actually clinch the league title. That's likely to happen a week or two after that, just depending on how results go elsewhere. But I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, 100%. Nothing much more to add from me, but I do feel like hopefully they can. That's not going to be the only ones that they do this season. If they've got more opportunity to do a couple more, that would be excellent. But yeah, it would be good. I'm actually quite sad that I'm missing that, because the one that they had there originally, I was planning to go to. But it's good that it's finally coming round, and hopefully that's a sort of seeds of like longer term planning as well there, because it would be good just to have them playing there permanently.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it's sitting doing nothing for pretty much pretty much every single day of the month. So why can't it be used for them on a Sunday or if they have any midweek games or whatever? So yeah, if you're able to get along to that, we will again retweet during the week when the QP Women's Twitter page send that out. We'll also share that information as well. You'll find it on our Twitter feed, which I'm sure you all follow anyway, but it is at Spiders Talk Pod. Tam O'Weir, we'll just mention that because he left Queen's Park. He obviously came in as manager of the B team. He did briefly get into the first team dugout and was helping out with Paul Noyton, obviously when we were in between managers at the turn of the year. But he has left Queen's Park. It seems to be that the change in regime has maybe meant that Callum Davidson, for whatever reason, didn't fancy him, because it seems like Liam Craig's now in charge of the B team, obviously Callum Davidson's assistant. So, I mean, best of luck to Tam O'Weir and what he goes on to in the future, although we know what he goes on to because he's back at Kelty, and we did actually spot that played and scored for Kelty last midweek before the club announced that he'd left. So I just thought it was funny that that's the second time this season where we've seen somebody leave Queen's Park by seeing them score for another team after Liam Brown back at the beginning of the season. So, yeah, it's just a little bit of a strange one. Obviously, for a reason, it's not quite worked out for him, but cause I remember seeing his interview he did with Kelty. He said, you know, he's looking to go into coaching. He had this opportunity. He just simply said it hadn't quite worked out, but yeah, best of luck to him in the future. Yeah, I suppose there's not much else to say on that. But finally, our last little news bit here, of course, we spent a bit of time last week talking about the contract extensions that the club teased in the week ahead last Monday. And we spent plenty of time looking at who's out of contract in the first team squad, who do we want, what are we looking at there. Looks like we were barking up the wrong tree because it was Lennon Connolly and Liam McLeish, two of the younger boys in the team, who have signed 2-year contract extensions. Obviously, Lee McLeish is a little bit more involved now with the first team, especially after coming back from injury. He was getting a little bit of a shot under Robin Veldman, but Callum Davidson's been using him most weeks as a substitute and getting those fresh legs on. You mentioned earlier on, Callum, he's got the pace to burn up front. And Lennon Connolly, who hasn't had as many first team opportunities, but I mean, he has capped. He's been involved with Scotland at youth level, under 17s. So, he potentially, again, another one for the future, we'll maybe see a little bit more of. But two young guys there getting a contract extension, and two names that we know will have in and around the club and potentially the first team going into next season.
Yeah, I mean, these are the guys that you're banking on being, you know, the starters of the future, and probably not even the too far distant future, to be honest with you, especially given McLeish is his involvement in the first team, and he's already got a goal this season too. I mean, to be fair, I think Ada scored against Arbroath that night, but he did really well to take it around the keeper after a wee bit of a lapse of concentration from Boric and the Arbroath defender. And I'm just really looking forward to seeing what these two young guys, along with plenty others, to be fair, there are so many of them in the squad right now that clearly have a serious amount of football and ability who, you know, you don't really know. You can never predict how these things are going to turn out in the long run. But there's boys there who just you know, one way or another going to go on and have fantastic careers. So let's just hope that they can really develop and start kicking on for us as well.
It is exciting. I'm looking forward to when that becomes a norm instead of us going and signing guys from other teams. We just promote players into the first team and they sort of bed in and they become the mainstays. We're starting to see it a wee bit with guys like Bannon, which is great. And the more the merrier on that front. I think we did them a bit of a disservice by running through all of the first team players that we might have wanted to get a contract extension. But these sort of things are just obviously as important as some of the first team guys sometimes, because you've just seen the difference that it can make with loads of teams if you can get these guys coming through and then they actually make an impact. Because as far as I'm aware, that's still meant to be the whole model that we're working to, isn't it? So locking these guys down is super important. And I mean, I've not seen too much of Connolly, obviously, but McLeish, I've liked everything that I've seen, to be honest. I also quite like his, I don't know if it's arrogance or confidence, whatever you want to call it. He seems a very assured young guy, which is definitely what you want from a striker.
Yeah, there wasn't there earlier on in the season, was there not an interview after one of the QPB teams? Because scored a fair few. Has he got two or three hat tricks, I think, for the B team this season as well? I'm sure it was after one of them, maybe Livingston or something like that. And it was said, he was asked the question, something like, so you scored three goals today, you happy with your performance? And he said something like, I just want to keep scoring more goals. I should have had more. And yeah, you're right. It's that kind of attitude, which would be, it's going to be absolutely fantastic for a striker to have, a converted striker in his situation as well. He's still perhaps learning the trade, but if he learns after, if he picks up a thing or two from Peyton and Sheridan, he'll do pretty well. So aye, good to see those two young guys getting a couple more years at Queen's Park, and yeah, fingers crossed we do see them kick on and contribute even more to the first team. And of course, I'm sure as time goes, as we get closer to the end of the season, there'll be some more names added to the list of the squad for next season also. But that will do it for our news roundup. So let's look ahead. It is Morton away. It's a trip to lovely Greenock on a bank holiday weekend, on Easter weekend. And, well, I mean, as if we need to, let's just start with our recent history against Morton.
Oh, no.
I think we're because that's what we're here to talk about, unfortunately, so we need to have a quick look at it. As you know, everybody will know listening to this anyway, but it's certainly by our responses there, it's not been very good. We've played seven times since we came up to the Championship so far, and it is four wins for Morton and three draws. It's been pretty terrible. You mentioned earlier on, Enzo, there's been a couple of occasions where it's been like, this is our chance. We're gonna beat this hoodoo. We're gonna get the win over them. And just for a number of reasons, we just seem to have struggled massively against them, haven't we?
Well, I mean, it's funny actually, because I was talking about this on Saturday with somebody. I think, see that game at Capello earlier in the season when we lost 1-0, despite having the man advantage for the vast majority of the game, despite having got a penalty and ultimately not converted the penalty. That there's a very good chance that was one of the most depressing games of football I've ever seen in my entire life, because I didn't actually think at any point we were going to win despite those advantages. And it was just, you just knew that it wasn't going to go to plan. It was very, very unpleasant. But I feel as though unpleasant just about sums up every single game against Morton. It's just, they have a number, to be honest with you. Dougie Imrie, I don't like him, but I'm going to give him a wee bit of credit here. He seems to know how to get his team to set up his team against us. He certainly had Owen Coyle's number last season. He had Veldman's number as well, although to be fair, a lot of people had Veldman's number. I know that obviously Davison was here for the game at Hampden that finished nothing each, wasn't it?
Yes.
Not a few weeks ago. It's probably more than a few weeks ago now, actually. But to be fair, I feel as though the players didn't really turn up that way. I think we set up okay. I just don't think it was a great performance from the guys on the day. Now that he's seen what Morton do, now that he's seen how they set up, I think he'll begin into this with a plan. I think he can win. I think we can definitely get something here. Whether we will or not is obviously a different question. I find it difficult to be overly confident getting into a game against them.
Yeah, you've still got to be cautious. I mean, Morton typically just thrive against teams which don't have that sort of strong spine to them, which is basically what we've been for a period of time, but I don't think that's the case under Davidson anymore. I feel like we're different now. We've got guys who are a wee bit more streetwise that'll match up better to them. And it's a weird one with Morton, because if you look at their recent form, they're not going out and conceding hundreds of goals. They're just not scoring. They've scored one goal in their last, six appearances. So, but they're not in all of those games as well. They've not conceded more than two, and that includes a game against Hearts, a game against Dundee United. So it's clearly a goal scoring issue, which is the problem. And I feel like that's where we have got much better. We've always struggled against Morton with just the big crosses into the box, Oakley always getting on the end of something, Katongo or whoever it may be down the wings causing a bit of grief. I feel like we'll be set up better to deal with that, particularly with the five at the back. So I'm pretty hopeful. I think what you said right, Enzo, that we should be confident going into this game, but also you can't, I mean, it's the same with every game in the Championship, let's be honest, right? Anyone can beat anyone. Consistency isn't really something that has been a facet of many teams' season, but I think this is as good a chance as we had. It kind of feels like, see, when we were playing against Thistle when they were on that really poor form and we managed to just draw that game, that was kind of feels like an opportunity like that, where you've got a team who's objectively been above you in the standings for most of the season, but they're in a bit of a bad spot. Kind of feels like a similar circumstance on that. Wee bit of trivia. Can you remember when we last beat Morton?
A lifetime ago.
Have we done this before on here? I haven't got a clue.
Possibly.
It's been a while, hasn't it? It was like 2003 or something like that, was it not?
No. Well, no. that might be in the league, but in the Challenge Cup, we beat them in 2016.
Right. Okay.
Was that a group stage? 2016. Game? No, sorry, not group stage. Was that a Hampden?
It was. Aye. We had David Galton, had Cummins score both the two goals.
Right.
Okay. 2016, the last time since we beat them on that. But yeah, God knows what it was in a league format. And as you say, David, it's been utterly honking since we've been in the same division. So time to get rid of that one.
Yeah,
talking about their inability to kind of score goals at the minute. Obviously, Oakley is back for them. He was back against Dunfermline on Saturday, but they seem to really be missing Ian Wilson as well. He's obviously been a really key part of their squad for the majority of this season too. And they seem to, I don't know, they seem to be lacking something with him being out. Not entirely sure the extent of his injury, whether he's likely to be back anytime soon. But I think it would benefit us if he wasn't quite ready yet.
Yeah, and you had as well, obviously, Oakley is back. You're right, he probably missed that big run of games where they only scored, what was it, McCallum? 1 in 5 games or 1 in 6 games? But did he... They did miss a penalty against Dunfermline there. Was that Oakley?
It was Muirhead that took it. Yeah, but I thought it was interesting that Mehmet's actually saved 3 penalties in a row now as well, which is unusual because you want, obviously there's a degree of luck involved in penalties, but I think goalkeeper to save 3 in a row, he's obviously doing something right.
He doesn't do much else right, to be honest.
Well, that's true. Yeah, I always thought he was rotten, so that's I was surprised to see that.
I still can't believe that Kirk Broadfoot is starting every game for them. Mind when they signed him at the start of the season and everyone was giving it a bit of criticism and Morton fans were like, oh, he's just going to be a bench player. But they've done okay, I guess, in the league so far this season. But yes, blows my mind.
Yeah, they've had quite a season, haven't they? Because obviously they started just about as poorly as us. In fact, no, were they not worse than us? Because were they not below us at one point?
Well, we won our first 3 games, remember, so well, that gave us a little bit of an advantage to offset how things ended up going after them.
They then obviously had that excellent run where it was like 16 games or something like that unbeaten, but yeah, recently the wheels have really fallen off there. I'm putting that down to the fact that Dougie Emery got 2 Manager of the Month awards in a row, so he's getting double cursed. And fingers,
like a multiplier effect.
Yes. Well, fingers crossed it keeps going because, see, we know we've already gone through that league table. We know how important 3 points would be again for Queen's Park this week. It would potentially shoot us up to, well, I mean, obviously, depending on how results go elsewhere, it could potentially actually put us level with Airdrie, albeit with the games in hand and stuff, in fourth place, joint fourth. So it would be quite incredible if that was to happen, especially as well because it would mean that we leapfrog Morton in the league table. In terms of lineups, there was, of course, a couple of injuries, wasn't there? I mean, did Dom Thomas not also come off with a little bit of an injury as well? And we had Longridge come off. So we'll talk about the lineup as if everybody's okay, but there's every potential we might see a change or two. Obviously, we'll perhaps hear more from Callum Davison when he does his pre-match sort of preview, which is usually on a Thursday, I think it comes out, doesn't it? So, Callum, you first. In terms of the lineup, I assume you would go for the same 11 if all is well. So I tell you what, I might as well ask you the question. And if it's not, what changes would you be making?
So are we going in the assumption that if Longridge is out, then it's going to be Mauchin that comes in, which makes sense. If Dom Thomas is out, I never really imagine a Queen's team without Dom Thomas. He is a bit sort of ever present, isn't he? I don't know who I honestly don't know who I would play there right now, because
it might be McKinstry with things shifted about ever so slightly. I'm not saying I necessarily want to see McKinstry play. I'm just saying I think that's maybe where Davidson would sort of lean.
Yeah, I mean, it makes sense on paper. I've just been so unimpressed with him, unfortunately, since he joined us. I personally, if we're thinking of a guy behind the striker, I would rather see Turner there. I'm still not convinced that he's a centre midfielder for me, unfortunately, but I can then understand why he's playing there, because Jack Thompson's just seems to be a superhero wherever he plays. So yep, putting him at centre back against Morton, I think I can totally see him continuing with that. So yeah, it probably would be McKinstry, but that wouldn't be my preference.
No, I agree with that.
Yeah,
but aside from that, if we've got everyone fit, then you're picking the same team, because they were fantastic. And I'm kind of liking that we're getting to the stage now where we're not debating every position every week, because it's just clear that we've got a sort of general group of guys who are forming a formation and a style of play that's working for them, instead of us trying to have to dissect the team to figure out what might work this week after getting pumped 3-0 or 4-0.
Yeah, that tended to be at times our longest discussion of a podcast episode, was what else can we possibly change to try and find the spark? And yeah, we're not having to do that anymore, which is ideal. It's I'm actually really looking forward, and I hope he starts, and again, hope he didn't pick up anything at the game, but obviously we talked about Sheridan at length earlier on. I'm really looking forward to seeing him up against Morton, because we're going to need him. Obviously, was he there? Did he play in that 0-0 game back in the middle of February? Was he with us at that point? I'm not sure, or even if he did. So. Even if he did, it would have been minimal time, if anything, but we need that. We need a physical presence. We know that it's not to go down that, you know, we spoke about this plenty, and I'm sure there'll be some Morton fans that will listen, wondering what we're going to say about the game, and I'm not going to get too bogged down in, oh, too physical. Well, they play the way they play, and that's just it. And it's been clear to see that apart from maybe one of the games under Owen Coyle, it's been the rest of them. We've just simply not matched up to them, and we've just been too soft against them. But it'll be good to see Sheridan chucking himself about against their centre-halves. It's, what is it, Baird and, is it O'Connor is the other one? Because I quite like them, actually. I think they're two pretty good centre-halves, but we just haven't had that physical presence up front against them. Sheridan's going to give us that, and hopefully that can be the spark on Saturday that will finally break this curse. Because yeah, I'd say we absolutely need it. I think if Longridge is still out, obviously his was a head knock, so you never really know what might happen there. Seems like Morkin probably would step in there pretty easily. I think I'd be siding with Jack Turner and behind the strikers. I kind of agree with you, Calum. I think in earlier games in the season he's done well in that position as well. He'll probably feel a wee bit hard done to at times since Davidson came in, but that he's not been starting as much, but obviously Sean Welsh just came in and just completely revitalised that midfield at times as well. So unfortunately somebody has to miss out when we're playing the three centre-halves with the wing-backs. It's one less midfielder, he's paid the price here, but I reckon he could do well in behind the strikers. Shall we, unless you have anything else to add, could move on and do a wee score prediction? Do you guys have anything else on the game?
No, I think it's pretty clear cut. Just go and bloody win, please.
couldn't put it better myself. Right, let's do our score predictions then. Give us this wee table update, Callum, because I actually was texting you that I had 2-0 Queen's Park with Peyton and Sheridan, and I was gutted that we did keep the clean sheet.
You know, there was a part of me that was actually, do you know what? I'm actually quite happy with 2-1 because I don't want you winning.
Yeah. But
tell me, Calcon, tell me, how many points have I got now anyway?
So I was trying to figure this out a wee bit, actually, right? Because some of the scenarios haven't cropped up. I don't think there's been many points in time where anyone has predicted both the correct goal scorers, and you've also predicted them in order. So you predicted
I remember we spoke about this, and it was 500 points to anybody that predicted that correctly.
Was that in your dream, aye?
No, I'm sure we spoke about this.
It doesn't matter. Sure. Do you know what? 1,000 points, but you never got it, so...
So, Enzo and I, we just get the 1 point because... we just get the 1 point because we got the Queen's win, which is fine. David also gets that 1 point. By the way, I'd also just like to add that I had Sheridan, Peyton, and Dom Thomas, and it was 3-1 Queens, and See if Dom Thomas had sealed that for me with
that chip. Yeah.
That would have been delightful. But unfortunately, he didn't. So, David, you got 2 points for the first goal scorer on top of that. So that wraps you up to 3. And then I think it's another 2 points because you got both the correct goal scorers. So that gets you 5 points for that game, which has only happened one other time this season. I had the other time when we beat Dunfermline 2-1. So this makes it interesting now, which is good. So I am on 24. David, you are also on 24. And Enzo, you are on 26. So there is one big result away from this all switching right round. So you are back in the hunt, David.
Oh, fantastic. Well, will I go first then, or do you want it? Seems I've been going first for about 18 weeks.
All right.
I'm happy to let you go first.
I'll take it then. Okay, cool. Right, clean sheet for me. So it's going to be 2-0 Queens, and I will have... I'm going to have Peyton scoring the first one, and then we will have Thomas scoring the second one.
All right. 3-1 Queens Park. Geraghty first. Peyton double.
All right, cool. Enzo?
I don't know, because I wanted 2-0 and then I wanted 3-1.
Good.
that usually means that you'll go something like 6-0.
Nah. I'll go for 3-0. A nice wee comfortable 3-0, aye. Would you a comfortable win, I think?
I feel like we've said that for about 5 seasons.
Well, aye, fair enough, aye. 3-0, I'll go for. Did you take Peyton and Sheridan, yeah?
Aye, yeah, go on.
Oh, dear. Sean Welsh will open the scoring, and then Peyton and Sheridan will score.
All right, sound.
Fantastic. What else do we have on in the Championship this weekend? We've got Friday night football, Ayr against Airdrie.
Yep.
Then we've got into Saturday, Arbroath Dunfermline, Partick Thistle Inverness, and then the big one between Dundee United and Raith, which obviously just in terms of the Championship in general will be probably a very good game. Shame that one's not on the telly, I suppose, but that just means that even less Raith fans will be able to watch it, because Dundee United are pulling a, as some of the Raith fans are trying to say, they're pulling a Queen's Park in terms of some ticket nonsense, which is definitely different. It's a different scenario, because Dundee United are actually shutting part of that away stand, whereas we were trying to use that, the terracing at Ockleview for Queen's Park fans, and it didn't work out, unfortunately, because Dundee went crying to the authorities. But yeah, massive game at Dundee United. Partick Thistle, just let them continue winning, let them continue sitting completely unchallenged in third place. Arbroath Dunfermline, Arbroath to maybe get that wee sneaky win to give them a wee glimmer of hope, but just mainly keep the points away from Dunfermline, I think. Yeah,
I mean, I think the win will probably be okay at this stage anyway, to be honest with you, but an Arbroath win wouldn't hurt.
Yeah, yeah. If we're thinking about our playoff push, then a few points away, Dunfermline might not go amiss.
Yeah, definitely. And then, as I say, Friday night football, Ayr against Airdrie. A boring 0-0 draw there, hopefully. And yeah, nothing. None of those teams getting an advantage over us. Of course, though, as I say, it will be the main event is at Capello. You looking forward to it, Enzo? Looking forward to your trip to Greenock?
No, I mean, it's not a place I particularly enjoy spending time, but if we win, it'll be worth it.
What do you enjoy less? Is it Ayr or is it Greenock? Or, well, the stadium, I should say, Somerset or Capello, because you're obviously very vocal in your anti-Somerset thoughts.
I feel as I'm getting a bit of a reputation for that, but it's probably justified, to be fair. I don't like either of them. I can't pick. They're both unpleasant places to be.
Yeah, because I mean, even at Morton, we get that rubbish little corner, that horrific little stand as well. But at least we can stand it here, which I quite like. So,
to be fair, they're not really standing now. Yeah, well, that's it. At least you've got some decent pubs in there. Greenock, the pubs, at least the pubs in the vicinity of Capello are absolutely grim. I know that obviously Greenock's got about 100 million train stations, so you can, there's nothing stopping you from going a wee bit further in and then heading back. And I think I might actually get the train this week. I haven't 100% decided what my plans are. But I'm assuming there's a supporters bus to plug as well, David.
There is indeed, yes. Uh-huh. It will still be the website, as always, queensparkonlineshop.co.uk. The bus pickup is 1 o'clock at Clark's School and then 1:15 at the Tesco at Mount Florida. It is £8 for an adult, and if you're an adult with an under 16 with you, it is £10. So yeah, you can still book that online. I think it did go off the website a bit early last week, did it not, as well? Like, did they change it over? So if you're looking to get that done, make sure you do it as soon as possible, because of course otherwise you're left to rock up on the day. Yeah, as Enzo says, there's train stations aplenty in Greenock for some reason, so you can get the train no bother, but I'm sure many will want to travel on the supporters bus with fellow Queen's Park fans. So yeah, it's queensparkonlineshop.co.uk. That will about do it. Any final thoughts from you, Callum, I suppose? Obviously, myself and Ed will be at the game. What are your plans this weekend? Do you get anything special going?
I believe, what are we doing this weekend? We're going away to some mad forest, so hopefully our car doesn't break down and we don't, I have no idea. I'm going somewhere this weekend anyway. But I'm hoping, did Morton do a stream? Maybe.
I don't know if it's a stream that you can watch from the Malawian forest.
Hey, by the way, I've been impressed about the phone signal here, so we'll see. Enough, we'll see. I will find a way to watch it if it's on. So
I seem to recall sort of like last season when you were getting a stream from Morton, it was pretty dodgy at best, although then again you were concerned about the quality of the air one, and you've not made any complaints yet, so it must have been all right.
My standards have decreased since I'm here. I'm after any football fixes, so I'll take whatever pixels I can get.
Fair enough. Well, I suppose we'll need to keep an eye out and see if that happens. I don't have a clue if they still do one, but yeah, fingers crossed, whatever way you're able to follow the game, you can follow it, Callum. But then, I suppose in that case, that is us for this week. Callum and Enzo, it has been a pleasure, as always. Continue finding us on Twitter, at SpidersTalkPod. And also continue finding us on Pie and Bovril as well, and all the threads relating to Queen's Park. Thank you for coming back, listening to us again this week, and we'll see you all again next week.
Cheers.
Thanks for listening. Play for the sake of the game.